Thank you, choir and the quartet. How do you like that new quartet? Isn't they great? Good. Very good. They sang during our revival meetings this past week and did a great job. So, choir and everyone sang, Steve, Antris, and Safe in the Harbor sang. So we had great music this week as well. All right, this morning, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. After thinking much about everything that Braxton shared this week concerning the church, us as a body of Christ, and how we are to be active and involved and just getting up and doing something, talked about that, and I'll share some about that today. I was impressed to preach on the spiritual gifts of the church. There's many different places in the Bible that tells us how the Holy Spirit empowers us with spiritual gifts and how we are to use those. And what a better way to start using those even more so, and thinking about our responsibility as Christians, how we are to use our spiritual gifts. Many times we may have them and then we just kind of sit and don't use them. It's kind of like putting things on the shelf and you might not get it down for 6 months or so, or you may not even use it at all. God wants us to not be on the shelf or just sitting in the pew, but being active for the kingdom of God. So I'm going to read, start with verse 1. I don't have that up on the screen, but I will start with verse 4 in a few minutes. But if you have your Bibles turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll begin with verse 1. And here Paul is talking about spiritual gifts, and he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren," talking to the believers, "I do not want you to be unaware," not informed what he's saying. "You know that when you were pagans or unbelievers, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led, whatever direction you were led, by whatever idol, whatever thing that you worship before you came to know Jesus Christ, that's what you did. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." And if we have the Holy Spirit, then we know that Jesus Christ is our Lord. And the Holy Spirit reveals that to us and testifies that to us. Now, let's go to verse 4. "Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries," and we know we have many ministries here at the Versailles Baptist Church. "And the same Lord is involved in all ministries of the church." And then verse 6. "There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons." And then, verse 7, "But to each one is given the manifestation," means more, many, "manifestations of the Spirit for the common good of the body of Christ," what that means. And then verse 8, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to the another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit." And then verse 9, "To another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, the distinguishing of the spirits, to another, the varieties of or various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretations of tongues. And that's what Paul says. If you're going to speak in tongues, you need an interpreter. That's what Paul is saying here. And in verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. And in verse 12, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body also in Christ. And then turn to, skip down to verse 27, which kind of ties all of this together. Now you are Christ's body. That's what we are. And individually members of it. So, looking at what Paul is talking about here concerning spiritual gifts, us being many members but one in Christ Jesus, we are the body of Christ. So, God is completely, let me say that again, God is completely involved in giving and using and I will go further than that and say empowering of the spirits or the spiritual gifts. And each, if you're claiming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, each one of us sitting here have at least one spiritual gift, at least one. And as we look around, as I look around, and many of you have more than just one, and we ought to utilize those for his kingdom. And many of those gifts were used right here in worship, in the music, in the preparation, and everything that we do here in this setting, in this worship. We are exercising the spiritual gifts that God has given us. And that is good, for as verse 7 says, for the common good of the believers of the church. So, specific gifts, places of service are, I would say, activities vary, but they all have their best effects when building up the body of Christ. Now, what is the body of Christ? The church. That's what we are, the church. So God creates a unique place in the body of every believer. Every believer. Not just some, but the scripture says every believer. See, gifts and ministries, they may overlap a little bit. But each believer has specialized God's design role in their life. And that's how we are to use our spiritual gifts, as God wills those, as the scripture says. And part of the exciting adventure of the following Christ involves discovering one's service, the contribution, and then making it available to God. That's how we are to do it. And as we look at the body of Christ, the church, again, we all have a spiritual gift. Now, make serving God and his people your motive as you utilize God's gift to you in your spiritual gifts. Now, usually, as you know, my message is I suggest what to do. And the Bible tells us what we need to do. But when it comes to spiritual giftedness, as I would say, I want to suggest what not to do. What not to do. And there are two attitudes you need to avoid, two things not to do. And I'm just going to cover one of those today because there's a lot in this particular chapter. And the first one I want to us to look at, whether you see prophecy, organizing, exalting, mercy, giving, service, teaching, and it goes on and on and on. And see, two you from God. All of these, you see, it's kind of like a box wrapped up. Everybody likes to get a gift, don't they? Well, God wrapped up your gift in a imaginary box, if you look at this, and you open it up, and that's your spiritual gift. And you say, okay, I'm not just going to set that aside and not use it. Most of the things you get as a gift, what do you do with it? You use it. You use it. It might be something manly, or it might be something ladylike, but something, a variety, as the Bible says. It can be used by all people. So, that's what spiritual gifts are. God gives those to us to build his kingdom, the kingdom of God. And I was thinking about, real life, how we feel sometimes. And sometimes we feel like the very last third grader to be chosen for the kickball team, right? You're sitting, you're waiting for your name. Oh, okay, Sam or Harry or Sue or Mary, you come on. You're going to be part of the kickball team and so forth. And you're sitting and waiting to get your name called. But, and sometimes that way in P.E., a teacher calls your name. But we wonder if we have any value at all to our friends, to our family, to our church. And sometimes, do we have any use at all for God? And my answer is yes, we do. And maybe we compare ourselves with others. Have you ever compared yourself with others? Oh, boy, they can sing, or they can teach, or they can serve in so many capacities. I just wished I could. Well, you can. Well, you might say, I can't sing like Steve Antrus. Well, he started singing young, didn't he? Or you might say, I can't play like Crystal Welch or Sandy Korfman or Vicky A. House and others who play the piano, organ. You might say, I can't do that. Well, you can. If you want to. If you want to do it bad enough, you can. Or you might say, I don't have the energy level of Carolyn Fisk. Did you know she jogs? She's got the energy. She jogs over this house, over this church, doesn't she? From one end to the other. And she really has the energy. And you might say, I can't entertain like Nancy Durham or Cheryl Welch, Sue Sutherland, or some of the other ladies, or many in our church. And somehow you might say, I don't know the Bible like Ed Antrus or like Jinga Powell, who teach Sunday school and so forth. So those are just some of the examples of many of you, what you do. And many of you that do all of these things feel like you need to do more, right? And you feel like I'm not living up to what God wants me to do. But, if you're using or exercising your gift in some capacity at church, you're doing what God has called you to do. And don't ever feel guilty of that. If you're doing something for God, don't ever feel guilty that you need to be doing something more beyond your spiritual gift. Now, if God has given you, like the nine fruits of the Spirit, then exercise those and pace yourself. And sometimes we get burnt out, don't we? But God doesn't want us to get burned out. He hadn't called us to do that, but to exercise our gift according to his will. So all of that I'm saying is true for all of us. And we might say, but what? So what? What does God's word really say? What? And I read the scripture just now. Does the Bible say that God only gives certain people to do his work? Or does today's passage, does God only use some people? Does God's passage say, now to some members of the manifestation of the Spirit, that he gives these gifts? Not at all. In verse 7, first of all, it says, but each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the what? Common good. And we all know what that common good, that means for everyone involved, everyone that can have a part in what God wants to do in the life of the church. See, you are one of the each ones. Each one of you sitting here today are one of the each ones. Just not some, but each ones. So God's Spirit manifests that through you. Isn't that great that God has chosen? In Ephesians chapter 1 says, God has chosen us from the very foundations of the world to use us to manifest His Spirit and testify within us what we are to do. Now, if we believe that the Holy Spirit is in us, we can no longer faithfully say, I don't have anything to offer. We have all to offer for God, and we can't say that. So if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit has supernaturally gifted you to serve in some way in the need of the church of the body. And that is what called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's like the story about the French Revolution, which illustrates a passion to use one's giftedness. There were three Christians that were captured, and they were sentenced to die by a guillotine. Well, they brought the first Christian. Well, one of them had the gift of faith, one the gift of prophecy, and the other one had the gift of helps. They brought the one with the gift of faith forward to lay him down under the guillotine, ready to pull the rope. And before they did that, I asked him, do you have any final words to say before we pull the rope? And the man said, well, I have faith that God is going to deliver me from this incident, from this execution. They said, okay, all right. So they pulled the rope, and the guillotine did not fall. The blade didn't fall. So they was at all with that, with his statement, and by the guillotine not coming down on him. So they freed him. They let him go. Well, they brought the second man with the prophecy, and they asked him the same question. Do you have anything to say about your life before we pull the rope? And he says, well, I know that God is going to deliver me from this thing. They said, okay. They pulled the rope, and again, the guillotine did not fall. It didn't fall the second time, so they let that man go free. The third man with the gift of helps laid him down on there and asked him the same question. Do you have anything to say before we pull the rope? And he says, well, as I look up there to that guillotine, I think I know what your problem is. Well, I guess this is not a real good illustration, but silly, but that's what the gifts are. You know, these three Christians put them to use. They of faith. You know, we have faith that God's going to do whatever we ask. We put our faith in Him when we accept Him as our personal Savior. It takes faith. Prophecy, we're able to teach or it's not like predicting the future like they did in the Old Testament, prophesying beforehand in the future, but it's able to prophesy and know God's will for your life, experiencing and utilizing the gift that He has given. And helps means we get out there and we do something for the Lord. The gift of helps or help, either one, singular or plural. With the body of Christ like we have here, there's many of us that are able to serve the Lord and do something for Him. Now, there's a second thing. In verse 11, okay, we see all the spiritual gifts. Can you pick yours out up there? There it is, ability is one of them. Ability to do whatever God has called you to do. But there are many different spiritual gifts for each one of us here today. And secondly, in verse 11, And God's Spirit works through us, not for our glory, but for the common good. There it is again. So if you don't discover what you're good at and use it to honor God or our church, and even wider, broader part of Ripley County, and beyond that, beyond our county into other areas, we're really missing what God wants us to do, and we're really missing a blessing. See, God wants to bless us all. He wants to bless you by using your gift. So God knows exactly what each church needs, so we should watch the people, and God adds to the body to see how God may shape our mission, how he might further our abilities to mission and do greater things that we can't do on our own, but through God's power and using our spiritual gifts, what God can do. So if you don't use your gift, the church is like what I call a jigsaw puzzle with a missing piece. And if you're not utilizing, if I'm not utilizing my gift, then we're missing out on a blessing, and the church is like has a missing piece of the puzzle. And you're a part, each one of us. And that's why the Bible says that we are many members, but one Spirit, one Lord, utilizing our gifts for the body of Christ, the whole. Now, so I would say never undervalue your gift by saying, well, I can't do what so-and-so does. I'm not as good as they are in that area. I wish I could do more. Well, you can. If you say you have nothing to add, you say more about God than you do yourself, that God is not able to give or give you a spiritual gift. So you put a limit on what God can do. And the truth is, you are supernaturally equipped in some way for part of God's mission, a part of God's plan for your life, an area in your life that you can use for God's honor and glory. So you might be thinking this morning, how can I find out how I'm gifted? You know, I'm glad you asked. You did ask me, right? Sure, you did ask. So how can you do that? And you might start by reading the various parts of the Bible and the scripture today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 list many of them. And then you can look in Romans 12. Start at verse 1 and read through chapter 1. Paul again tells us the variation of the gifts that God gives us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you can go to Ephesians chapter 4, where it talks that God calls some apostles, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, and so on and so forth, and for the equipping of the saints. And that's what we do. We equip you to use your gift. You know, we're accountable for that as a church. As you make a profession of faith in Christ as a new Christian, God begins to show you what he has gifted you with. And you, and whatever area you're interested in or whatever you do in life is a part of what God will do and use in your life to show how you are to use your spiritual gift. And even if you go to 1 Peter chapter 4, even Peter talks about how to use the spiritual gift that God has given you. See, the Bible lists 22 separate gifts in all. But since each list is different of the books that I just gave you, they may well just be a sampling. Or as you review those lists, pray and ask God to reveal to you what you might do to help build his kingdom. Oh, spiritual gifts. You know, when we talk about spiritual gifts, we're not getting charismatic or anything like that. That's what spiritual gifts is. Charisma. Charismatic in the Greek form. It's in the English form, it's spiritual gifts. And we are to use those for His honor and glory. Or you know what? Ask other people's. What do you think my spiritual gifts are? A lot of people are looking at you and they know exactly what gift you have by how you use it and demonstrate it within a church. Many, well, back in, before I became, made public, God called me to become a pastor. They didn't come to me, but many people went to Brenda and say, "Is Mike thinking about surrendering to become a pastor?" And, of course, she didn't give him an answer there, but she's, you know, maybe or what, you know, God is working in his life. But, see, people can recognize how you go about using your gifts and the things that you do within the church or within your life, how God is leading you to wherever he's going to place you and use you to utilize to build the kingdom of God. So ask yourself, what do I like to do? Or what do I do well? And then once you figure that out, you know what you do? Just do it. Just do it. Or as Braxton Hunter said during the weekend when he was preaching for Haggai chapter 1. You remember that night? What did he say? Get up and do something. Oh, well, not that, but there we go. Get up and do something. So it looked like somebody was stretching there, weren't they? Yeah, get up and do something. Look at all these people. They're raising their hand. They're getting out and they're going to do something. They're going to utilize their talents and whatever God is doing in their lives. They're excited about doing it. And we ought to be excited about it. Try something. We need to do whatever we're going to do to honor God with our life. We all want to do that. If He's blessed you, then you're on track. You're doing what God has called you to do. If not, maybe try something different or another direction. And God will show you what He wants you to do. Don't put yourself down, but on the other hand, find out what God wants to do. And then verse 27, you know, using, again, looking at the gift of the Holy Spirit. In verse 27, it says, all of you together are Christ's body. You know that, don't you? You know that. All of you are part of Christ's body, and each is a part of it. That's what verse 27 says. The words, all of you together, refers to all believers across the world. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, and he gave it to the disciples, but he was giving it to the church. He was giving it to everyone. He was looking out far beyond just Jerusalem or Judea or Samaria. He was saying to the uttermost parts of the world. And that includes everyone. That includes us, you, and everyone across the world. All believers together are the body of Christ. As new believers come to salvation in Jesus Christ, they join that body, the body of Christ. They receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then they use it for God's glory. See, therefore, each and every believer in the body of Christ is a separate and necessary part of the body of Christ. No believer is unimportant. I don't want you to ever think about that. Well, my gifts is not important to someone else. Whatever God's gifts is given to you, it fits you exactly. It fits your personality. It fits your demeanor. It fits everything about your life, how you can use it in honor and glory. Even the simplest gift, we might think, will bring glory to God. And that's what's most important. We don't have to have the greatest gift in the world. We can have the smallest gift in the world, but whatever it is, we are to utilize it for the body of Christ. Each one has a gift to share in order to make and build a function and be more effectively in Christ. So let us all, as we think about it, what? Get up and do something and build the kingdom of God. Inside the world of the Christian, you know, we're all on reconstruction, aren't we? All the time. That's a good book to read, by the way. A real good book to read. So this morning, I want to challenge you. You know, for you that were here, and if you weren't here, I'm trying to tie all of this together, all the five messages that Braxton preached this week, which were very powerful. And this is a way that we can utilize and do something for the body of Christ, utilizing our gifts. And that's what it comes down to. As we are renewed in the Spirit, we're refreshed. You know, we have something new in our life. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if you be in Christ, you are a what? New creation. Old things have what? All those lazy things in our lives have passed. All the sins, all the things, you know, past, present, future. And guess what? New things have come. That means our lives are changed. And therefore, just as soon as you're saved, you know, that Spirit of God enters your heart, enters your life, He begins that changing process, showing you, okay, this is what I want you to do for my kingdom. And as you begin to use that gift, and as you get involved in church and serving or teaching or sharing, or whatever God is doing, just the simplest things will bring honor and glory to God. And guess what? You get the blessing. It's just not hearing the word or receiving the word. It's when we put it into practice, when we apply it to our lives, and applying it by using the spiritual gifts that God has given us. So we should be stirred up, ready to jump right in to do whatever God is going to open up for us here at Versailles Baptist Church. You know, I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are too, and I know you are. Let us pray. Father God, we praise you. We thank you for your mighty, mighty power. And we thank you that you did give each one of us a gift. And I just pray, Lord, that we will continue to exercise it, put it into practice, and continue to look forward to doing greater things individually and then as a body of Christ. Because, Lord, we are building your kingdom, and that's what you have commanded us to do. It's not really an option, but we really need to feel convicted about it. And when we're really convicted in our heart, then we're going to really apply it, do our best with the power of your Holy Spirit, which you invested in our life when Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for our sins. Lord, you have come into this world to empower us, to enrich us through your word. And Lord, thank you for Versailles Baptist Church, and thank you for each person here this day. And may your Spirit already have been at work, not only just now, but the beginning of this week and all the way through this week, getting us ready for great things that you want to do, are going to do in our lives, in the life of this church, into our community, and around the world. Lord, we can reach a lot of people, do a lot of great things by the power of your Holy Spirit. Whatever the decisions are this morning, there were many decisions this week. First-time decisions, there were renewal, recommitments of their life to you. And Lord, may we keep that fresh in our heart and our mind. And the way we do that is get busy, keep doing the things that we know will honor you. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing hymn number, his name is Wonderful.